So the first question I'm going to pose tonight is, what is a preacher supposed to do with a narrative that everybody knows? What can I say that is new about this story? I know you're probably not interested in the latest historical critical insights, nor in the perspectives offered by some niche theologians. I doubt, too, that you want to hear about a theological face-off between mainliners and evangelicals or Protestants and Catholics concerning the reliability of the infancy narratives. No, you want something else, I suspect. Something worthy of Christmas Eve. Something new. Well, I could always take the easy route and just make something up. As we sadly know all too well, that course seems to have helped far too many people seeking power, celebrity, or wealth to get ahead in life. I could tell you that there were aliens in Bethlehem, that dinosaurs, peaceable ones that wouldn't eat the other livestock, lived in the manger, that ninjas lurked in the shadows. Somehow, I might find a way to include Batman in this story. Or maybe for people with a different reference point, I could use Buck Rogers or John Wayne. Something, anything to get your attention. But why? Why do this? Any of this? Why would this be necessary? Why would I need to sex up the story of Jesus' birth? Well, because the Lucan account is too familiar, too humdrum, too boring. To which I have to reply, really? Really? Think about what we just heard. Think about what happens here. Real live angels appear in the sky to share a divine announcement with a band of shepherds. Does that need special effects to astound you? A CGI rendering to make it more real? Focus not on the visuals, but on the meaning of this incredible event. A word from God was delivered directly to a bunch of rough, dirty men who work with sheep and were thus unclean. And that word came by way of a heavenly messenger who are not the adorable baby cheek putty or cherubim that figure in Renaissance art or adorn Hallmark greeting cards. These were awful, magnificent beings who had to introduce themselves by saying, "Be not afraid," before they said anything else, because they wanted their audience to stay and listen. These angels had come to the humblest of men. Heaven met earth, the high and the low mingled, for the sharing of amazing, life-changing news. The Messiah, the Savior, was born. Oh, sure. Augustus Caesar made such claims for himself. Master of the world, son of God. I'll admit, Octavian had done well for himself and for Rome. He'd ended the civil war that for so long had torn apart the Republic and plunged the Mediterranean world into chaos. It was said that he found a city of brick, and when he had died, left one of marble. But what we know is that he was only the son of God because he conveniently declared his adoptive father, Julius Caesar, to be a deity. We know that one of his successors saw a large portion of the putative eternal city consumed in a terrible conflagration. And while Caesar may have brought political stability, his peace was that of the Pax Romana, enforced by the legions at the point of a sword. Think of that. The world needed something different, and it still does. It was at that moment that God entered into our reality, offering a rejoinder in the form of a baby boy. The imperial palace on the Palatine Hill was countered by the lowly trough in the manger. Rome, supposed caput mundi, head of the world, was answered by the frontier town of Bethlehem, the city of David. These distinctions are key. They highlight the contrast that came into focus on that long ago night. Augustus was technically a patrician, yes, but he was essentially a self-made man who claimed to be royalty. Jesus was actually descended from a king who had ruled in Israel centuries before. but was the very Son of the King of the universe. Jesus' kingship matters not because of his royal lineage, but because of the kind of king he was and is. The nature of his rule can be found in the announcement to the shepherds. The angels came not to the Senate in Rome, nor to the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, nor to military leaders or the heads of armies, nor to the so-called important people or the A-listers, but to the lowliest of the low, to those who needed Jesus, and not only needed, but deserved to be told that God loved them. Think about that. God loved them. And yes, God loves each of us. In fact, God so loved the shepherds that he reached out to them. God came to them. And he loved the world so much that he came to us. That was and is big news. No wonder those men left the field to spread the announcement, to share their excitement. And what of the peace that God promised? Did not the Romans bring peace? Or was it merely pacification? The imposition of calm through the force of arms? That is not true peace. That is not the kind of peace of which the prophet Isaiah wrote in those famous words of scripture that are boldly inscribed on a wall in the Peace Park across from the entrance to the United Nations in New York. Do you remember those words? He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. It is one of history's great ironies that a sculpture depicting this scene was given to the United Nations in 1957 by the Soviet Union, a state that maintained its power through might and fear. Today, of course, the USSR is gone, but the artwork remains. More important, what that sculpture symbolizes, true peace, remains. That hope endures. Later in our service, we will sing of peace on earth, but one that is not of this world, yet is necessary for it. A peace of God that we long for, that we yearn for. The peace that will not be brought by military power or surrender to those wielding brute force, but a peace that will enable each and all of us to live our lives as children of God without fear of deprivation or abuse or oppression. Or as the prophet Micah put it so eloquently 2,800 years ago, they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. It's a lovely image. It's a vision of what God wants for us, indeed intends for us. It's the realization of a promise that was fulfilled when the prophet Jesus was born in Bethlehem on that long ago night. Is this wild enough, fantastic enough for you? When you take a few moments to really sit with the story, to imagine the characters, to hear the echoes of commitments made and fulfilled, is this story enough for you? For me? No, there are no aliens to be added to this story. No dinosaurs or ninjas, no Batman either. But there is something more incredible. The truth, God's truth. His truth overcomes the lies of the world. The truth is that Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. God did come into the world. We are saved. And best of all, the story did not end with our Lord's birth, but began and still continues. Merry Christmas.